Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing Podcast. I'm Stu Whiffin. Sitting opposite me today needing a poo is Christopher William Glasson.
This is an Acast episode. You can't start like that. Yes, I do need a little poo. So this will be a 15-minute episode. Just a little peek behind the curtains there of what happens in a podcast as well.
Are you peeking out from the curtains?
I've got a very curious turtle at the moment.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Welcome, one and all. Hardcore Listing is a weekly podcast where we tackle a topic by arranging it via the means of a top five, from five down to one. I'll pick five, Chris will pick five. And we'll go to work. Most of you, I'm sure, have heard this podcast before, but if you're new listeners, welcome. Enjoy today's episode. Go explore the back catalogue because there's a bundle. And the reason there's a bundle is because we've got lovely sponsors.
We've got wicked sponsors.
Let's get a word from them. Okay, first up, we have a brand new message from our sponsor, love-beer.co.uk. Charles says, we're delivering to home and office bars in and around London, including Essex, Kent, Hertfordshire and more.
We're a one-stop shop for everything you need to pour a beer at home, from installation of the equipment through to delivering kegs straight to the bar.
This year, with rugby and World Cups, we're also developing our hire equipment with a quick and easy to use solution to have kegs at home. For about £3.20 a pint, we can install a keg with all the equipment you need to pour beer for up to 2 weeks.
Yes, all the equipment we provide can dispense up to two kegs at the same time. So if you wanted a lager and one of my amazing craft beers we featured previously on the podcast, then the per pint cost will be even lower, and the equipment we use will keep it pouring properly for the full 2 weeks without you having to do a thing.
The only thing you have to do is go to love-beer.co.uk.
Bangboomcreative.com. That's where you need to go for the very best in film, photography and production work.
Absolutely. Handsome Luke and his team over at Bang Boom have been proud sponsors of ours for bloody ages.
Yeah, and we can tell you two things about them. Number one, their stuff is excellent. They work for massive global brands, charities and companies of all shapes and sizes.
The content they create does really, really deliver. We've done shoots with Luke. Loads of the people, our partners over at the network and our mates have done shoots with Luke. Always banging and they're always getting results.
Yes. And number two, they're just bloody nice to work with. The team at Bang Boom always give it their all. The business ethics are sound and they're a bunch of warm, proper, decent people.
So if you need some great visuals from a truly excellent company, check out bangboomcreative.com. Sponsors of Hardcore Listing. The world can seem like a strange and sometimes dangerous place. With Samet Academy helping you with your martial arts training, you can always feel safe. Dangerous loners are everywhere. They come across as harmless board game geeks or indie music fanatics, but the reality is far more sinister.
Yes. Renzi Simon James has been training karate for over 32 years and teaching for 28. He knows through first-hand experience that martial arts can give you the stress release you've been looking for. It can teach you life lessons along with fitness and, more importantly, peace. At Sama, he teaches karate, kickboxing, tai chi and MMA to all ages, from children as young as four to the very elderly, even Stu.
What? Aside from that, he also teaches ladies self-defense courses, team building courses, corporate training days, apprenticeships to become a martial arts instructor for SAMR.
Yeah, he even teaches a parent and baby self-defense course. That's defense while carrying your child, not defense against maniacal murder babies, because we all know there's no defense against them. So go hit Simon up at samr-academy.co.uk.
There you have it. There are our wonderful, wonderful sponsoroonies. And also, if you want to get a little bit more involved, why don't you come and join us over at Hardcore Listing, but the Patreon page, patreon.com/hardcore listing. You can go, and for about $10 a month, you get an extra episode a week. You get mixtapes from my colleague sat opposite me, who's Hello. Actually a really good DJ. And
Thank
he
you.
Puts out good tunes on there. You get to see most of our podcasts are videoed as well. Today's isn't, because we're luckily sat in front of each other, which is lovely. So, yeah, that's all the goodness you get over at Patreon. And also, there's a lovely community of people who all just now friends, all have got their own. There's not just one social group. They're all split off into their own social groups, all doing their own fun social events. I met up with one of them at the weekend. Mm-hmm. I met up with lovely Jessica Reed. So that was splendid. From my perspective, probably a tough day for her.
She tied you up for, was it 2 days before you managed to get away?
Before I got out, yeah. She did a Boy George on me. Was it Boy George?
Yeah.
Michael, did he do it? Charlie Sheen did it.
Boy George, if I remember, did he handcuff someone to like a radiator or something?
Yeah, for like 7 days.
Yeah, he's got a bit too sexy, didn't he?
Too sexy, yes.
And I should point out, if you this is obviously an audio podcast, but on Patreon you can watch these episodes and you will find out that both Chris and I are too sexy. I'll tell you who are sexy. Famous people.
Oh, famous people are the sexiest, aren't they? Mm. Like, they've got better personalities, they've got more money, better morals, never do anything wrong.
Dress better. Good haircuts.
I'm quite well dressed today. I'm fresh out of a funeral today, aren't I?
Yeah, you look incredible. Yeah.
So, I sat down in the funeral afterwards at the wake, and then like I was eating food and realised all the buttons started separating on my black shirt.
Yeah.
And I just had to, you know, when you use your tie to cover
your
shame. Yeah, anyway, so yeah, celebrities are the best. And so we thought we'd do top five times we've met celebs, right?
Yes, chosen by former guest of the show.
Former celeb?
Former guest of the show. Absolute celeb. Absolute lovely lady, B-Dux.
B-Dux, the love ninja, helped me propose.
Yes.
She mouthed it because I just didn't want to get married, but said, B, can you propose? No, she helped me set up the wonderful day, and B's got loads of followers, hasn't she? She's she's a bit social media savvy herself. But yeah, what a great shout. Top five celebrity. The weird thing is, I'm not very good at any of this and remembering it. And Molly's always like, and also I'm a bit like low key on celebs. And maybe that's helped in the past because I have managed club nights for you where we always had celebrity DJs, didn't we? So I've met a lot and I've probably not forgot a lot, but just was kind of calm about it. So I didn't fanboy out. But that wasn't always the case with me in celebrities.
Ooh, we'll find out, won't we?
We will find out. Yeah. So do you want to go first today, mate?
Okay.
Join him.
Right, what will I start with today? Let's have a little look. I'm going to start with a double header.
Oh, that's very X-rated.
So, I think it was about 5 or 6 years ago, I went to Las Vegas.
Amazing.
With mutual friends of mine and yours, and we done all the stuff that you do when you go to Vegas, you know, all the... You know, the helicopters over the Grand Canyon.
Hookers, shot a homeless man.
Yep, yeah, shot a homeless man. Yeah, yeah. That's cheaper than I thought it would be.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, a lot of them just walk straight out of the casinos with empty pockets and just say, put a bullet in my head.
Kill me now. Before my wife does.
Yeah, and so... We stayed at Caesar's Palace, and in Caesar's Palace, it's very, very famous for boxing.
Yeah.
So I hoped when I'd go there that there'd be a big fight on, and there'd be all sorts of boxing paraphernalia around Vegas because it's the fight capital of the world. There was nothing. I think there's a statue of Sugar Ray Robinson, I believe, in Caesars. But that was about it. And so I was a little bit disappointed. And then if you've never been to Vegas, it's very hard to sort of explain just how big Vegas is and how big these hotels are. Imagine like the biggest shopping centre you've been to. There's generally one of them in every hotel. And so we went to Caesars Palace, to the mall, to have a little just look about. And as I walked past a sports shop, inside it, there was a little sign in the window just saying whatever the date was, from 1 till 2 p.m., come and meet former heavyweight champion of the world, Leon Spinks. I was like, oh, my God. And I looked at my watch and I was like, that's now. and I was like, where's the queue? And there wasn't a queue. So I walked in the sports shop and there sitting at a desk was Leon Spinks. there's Leon Spinks there knocking out Muhammad Ali.
That's incredible.
And he was a massive, massive underdog. He stopped the greatest. Muhammad Ali come back very soon after that and then reclaimed his title and destroyed him. But I shook the hand
that knocked out the greatest boxer of all time.
Yeah. He was very lovely. He looked quite poorly. I think he was a little bit punchy.
Punch drunk.
And so I literally just had this... we're both looking to the wall because I've got a signed picture of Spinks and Ali signed by Leon. And I was just... I walked out of that sports shop just like, oh, my God, I did not expect...
Did you bang him out?
Like... I thought about it.
Yeah, I would have done.
I thought about it. And as I walked out, I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And then I looked up, and right in front of me was Matt Goss from Bros. And I was like, for some reason, I just went, Matt.
I can just imagine you doing that as well.
And, like, and he was like, all right. And he had, like, the best suit you've ever seen on. A trilby.
He's a big deal out there, isn't he, Matt?
All the billboards out there refer to him as the UK Sinatra. He was in residency at Caesars and has been for years. And we'd gone out there and it was our mutual friend Antonia's 40th. And she wanted to do, being at 40, was a brosset, wanted to meet Matt Goss.
Yeah.
Didn't see him once.
Oh, no.
I think by about 3 days into the holiday, I bumped into him about 6 times. To the point where it was a bit awkward.
Oh, no. Because he probably thought you were stalking him.
Yeah. But he was really lovely. Had a photo with Matt Goss. And, yeah, like, literally within 10 minutes, like, that happened. Walked out of the shop straight into Matt Goss of Bros. Subsequently, interviewed him on Off the Beaten Track. And he was... This is post the Bros documentary, which had... various
as well.
Reviews. And he was bloody lovely. It sounds insane, but we chat on WhatsApp.
That's mad, isn't
it? It is insane. There's probably a lot of women that are very jealous at that.
Yeah.
But
he's grooming you.
Didn't think of that.
Yeah, he's grooming you, mate.
What's your number
he
five?
He saw you 6 times in 3 days. Oh, he looked at you and he thought... I think I found my new bear.
Bit of rough.
Yeah. He can have steak every day, but every now and then he wants to nip out for a burger, mate. Or a pot noodle. What's my number five? I'm going to go in there from Matt Goss to Gal Porter.
Oh, she's my number four.
Oh, is she? How convenient. Who thinks Gal? Do you think he's lying? I think he is. Gal Porter... we had a real good run of amazing people that we spoke to and met and became friends with, really. And Gal always was just such an epic human being with such a fantastical story. And just such a lovely person, isn't she?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I imagine anyone listening to this that has been a long time listener of the podcast has probably heard Gal multiple times on this podcast, and she's been on live shows, hasn't
she's
she?
Been on, loads of live shows. And
right from the off, when we first recorded, it was Acast, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And
it was a great episode.
So good. About
a top five celebrity interview, so but a little bit like this podcast.
Oh my God, it was, wasn't it?
She'd met John Travolta story and Bowie, I think she'd met.
Who's the guy from Blood Diamond? I can't remember the actor's name.
Not Leo, it's the really handsome
guy. She fancied him, didn't she? And she really embarrassed herself. And she's just been like, literally, it popped up on my memories on Facebook that was, it came up last week. I think it was 4 years ago last week. That chat. And I don't think there's a week gone by where I ain't had a little message from Gal. She's bloody lovely, ain't she?
Yeah, she is. And she only made it your number four. Mm. But then you've got Goss in your WhatsApp. I haven't got any of these celebs in my fucking phone, by the way. Mm. But Gal is epic. Really great podcast, really great human being. Has always had time for us. And we've always got time for her as well. So look forward to seeing Gal next. We always threaten that in October we're going to do that scary underground thing. This year is the year.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the year we go and do that dungeon type thing with her. Not a sex dungeon thing.
She done the escape room with us, didn't she?
She did escape room, but she's got good hookups at the like all the mazes underneath London, hasn't she?
Yeah.
And they do this scary tour. I'm so down for that, Gal. So hopefully we can put that together. So yeah, Gal Porter, a fucking legendary human being.
Yeah, absolutely. Just an absolute dude. It's like to present Top of the Pops, to present the movie show and to do all the things. And obviously you can't not mention the fact that she was projected onto the Parliament that she became so famous then. And then, you know, it's well documented, how tough Gal's had it. And do you know what? She's just always got a smile, hasn't she? She's always like self-deprecating and she's just bloody lovely.
She's a transparent person. She doesn't have an agenda.
So true.
Yeah, and I think that's just nice. It's just nice. You know, she's a good egg.
And to see that that story get documented and Gal be so open in that documentary and then, you know, what was it, a year and a half ago, to win a BAFTA.
Yeah.
Like, fucking incredible. Yeah. Like, yeah. All the love in the world for Gal Porter.
Bit jealous we haven't won a BAFTA yet, but, you know.
It's coming.
Can we borrow yours? Well, look, that was your number four, so shall we skip on to my number four and then we sort of, like, evens it out, doesn't it? Yeah. I'm going to go with one of the first celebrities I think I ever met. It's Andy Crane. No. Although that probably was my first celebrity.
You look a bit like Andy Crane.
Fuck off. I mean, yeah, I can see that. I mean, yeah, I met him, did some breakdancing, won a quick talent show at the Towngate. Forgot about it, you know, that's just how I used to roll.
Why have you never brought that up a million times?
It's weird, isn't it? Yeah. I haven't ever mentioned it. I do things, man. I do things that I don't tell you about, all right? This old pony's still got a few stories in him. But first celebrity I really met that I really was into was, me and Scroobius Pip. So we'd met, obviously.
He's not Andy Crane.
He's not Andy Crane, really. Me and Pip met in a corridor of Palmer's College. And anyway, he got me into the Bloodhound Gang. One Fierce Beer Coaster was the record. I remember it fondly. I transferred it onto a tape and listened to it religiously until I was a big fan of them. And then we went, and it was the first ever gig I went to, and Pip took me. It weren't a date. He took, you know, it was me, him, Tom Coles, blah, 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 blah. Went to watch them at the Astoria 2.
That's the venue.
Yeah. So we went there and Jimmy Pop just walked past and Pip went, all right. And then they just started having a very normal, natural chat. And I basically just gazed at him and I just felt like absolute imposter syndrome. And I was so awkward and I couldn't fucking say anything. I just smiled and nodded. And for Lippy Chris, for Mouthy Christopher, who we all know from this podcast, it's weird to think that I can't talk. And yeah, I just went all like just a little bit like soppy and just didn't know what to say. And like Pip was just having a very normal conversation and I didn't know what to do. I don't know what they discussed. I was very overwhelmed. It was my first live gig And, you know, it was just a lot of people there. I hadn't been to London that much at that age. Yeah, it was all just an overwhelming of the senses. And then to meet someone who I thought, like, you know, you hear these people, you read, listen to their CDs. Back then, it's like, well, they must be like gods because you're never going to meet them. They're going to be like, they've produced this record. They're out of sight, out of reach, you know. And just to have to see Pip chatting with him and me just sort of like looking a bit dumbfounded. Yeah, I always remember it. This happened about a year later when we met. Was it Papa Roach? Pip will correct me. Pip, you know, listen to this and text me and have a go at me. Who did we meet, Pip? Who was it?
Alien Ant Farm.
Was it Alien Ant Farm? It was one of them.
Yeah.
And again, I just sort of stood there like a bit goofy.
Yeah.
And Pip just talked to them like actual human beings.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do that. I was quite impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's my number four.
And then obviously, wind it on a few years.
Mm-hmm.
Former guests of the show.
Crazy.
Dan
Picar.
And
we also got Jason.
Jason wasn't in. Adam Perry's brother was in. Adam. Was a drummer in Blood and Gang.
Yeah.
And obviously, Dan played bass in. Scroll back for the live episode with Adam Perry to hear the Russia story with the Blood Ant Gang.
That was mental.
Because that is like no other rock and roll story you will ever hear. And that shows how nuts them fellas in Blood Ant Gang
were. Oh, it was, yeah. And they are great. Like Evil Jared, who lives in Berlin now, I just think he's incredible. I think he's a brilliant artist. He'd definitely be... You remind me a bit of Evil Jared. He's quite tall like you. Quite handsome as well.
Lovely.
I'm not going to say that while staring into your eyes in a room where none of your family members are here. And, I just think they're really talented people. But they are mental.
Yeah.
I think I would have been quite good in the band. I think if I was in a band, I think I would have died quite quickly, though.
Yeah. Strangle wank. Right.
So true. What's your number three?
I've got some really mental...
Yeah, you have. You've got loads.
Honourable mentions here. Right, I'm going to go for Howard Jones.
Who's Howard Jones? Who's that
So
one?
Howard Jones is a very... he was a super famous 80s pop star.
Right, okay.
And I loved Howard Jones in the 80s. And so... I'll tell you what, just so you know.
If you're going to play it, it's not going to sound very good, though, is it?
Right. Know this?
No.
You've never heard What He's Loved by Howard Jones?
No, because wasn't that the cover of Hadaway?
Baby, don't hurt me no more.
So that this big ear fucking you got in podcast, make sure to come back to listen to Hardcore Listen while Shul just plays through his Spotify playlist and plays you tinny songs.
You don't know this either.
Right, I know this one. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know this one.
Thank you. Right, Howard Jones.
I don't know.
He played Live Aid. He was a super huge pop star. And I fucking loved him. Anyway, about 1992, he played the Festival Hall in Basildon. First time he'd ever come to Essex. Obviously, that venue's disappeared now. And me and Cump went there, but that morning, I'd been dumped by my first love.
Oh, right? I'm sorry, mate.
And I'm over it.
You never really get home.
No.
You just learn to live with it. The shame.
But she looks quite unhappy. I've still parked my car outside her house and watch her come and go. So she's not doing too well. So that makes
me
feel better.
Yeah. She lost a leg, didn't she?
She did, yeah.
Good. And a few kids. Good. It makes it feel better, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I definitely reckon my annual turnover is bigger than hers.
Oh, fucking thank God.
And I definitely think that if you had to look at both of us on paper as like top trumps, I'd be better.
Yeah. I reckon almost across the board, Nice one, mate.
Last
on her then. I'm sorry, man.
I was so upset.
Yeah, I bet.
So fucking upset.
It's brutal.
And Cunt was like, come on, look, we're going to watch Howard Jones tonight. And Cunt gave me his long sleeve white shirt. Like, it was like a long sleeve t-shirt, a white one. And it just had, it was by a band called the Mac Lads, who were just this like band that Viz readers used to love. They were naughty.
Said blue words, did they?
Yeah, and some probably in hindsight some very questionable songs as well. But they did do a long sleeve white t-shirt which just had the word twat in big letters across the front. And so I wore my twat t-shirt, and I remember driving to Basildon, Cunt was driving, and I remember having a couple of cans of beer. I probably didn't drink much then either. And the little ring that she bought me, I took off and I threw it out the window.
You're so hard.
Yeah. I remember thinking, the minute I threw it, I wish I didn't do that in case we get back together.
But you didn't.
No, we didn't. She didn't want anything doing me.
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh so hard.
And I remember getting there. We was going to go there early and try and meet him beforehand.
Yeah.
And so when we got there, he was literally just pulling up to do a sound check. And Cump was a bit more confident than me. He just went, oh, hello, Howard. have you sound checked? He went, no, I'm going to do it now. He said, and he went, you can come in and watch if you want. And he was like, oh, my God. And so we got chatting to him, and he went, like, I said, what sort of stuff are you playing tonight? And he sort of mentioned a few songs. And then I went, will you play this really funny song that was off of an album that no one really was into called Will You Still Love Me? Will You Still Be There? Sorry. And he went, oh, I won't be. That won't be in the set. And I was like, oh
he's mugged you right off.
And so anyway, we walk into the festival hall, which is a fucking big venue. Sit in front row, me and Cunt, no one else in there. He's sound checking. Goes to sound check the piano. Will you still be there when that played it for me?
Oh, what?
And I was like, oh, fucking hell. What started off as a really bad day.
Yeah.
My favourite 80s pop star played me. Yeah, played me me.
That's
me,
incredible,
song,
Stuart.
On the piano, so it was a lovely day, lovely
what
ending.
A story, man.
And even though the lovely photo I've got with him, I'm wearing a t-shirt that just says the word "twat" in big letters. But that t-shirt will also come into an honourable mention.
Incredible.
Number two.
No, I think it's my number three.
It is your number three. I went first.
So just learn to count, prick. Oh, you just reminded me of someone.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Prick. Let's go for this person. I can't believe I forgot. It's Huey Morgan from the Fun Loving Criminals. So obviously we have met. I can tie this in actually to an honourable mention. So like a few years before that, we met Fast from the Fun Loving Criminals, and Fast came and DJ'd for us. And we had Redshift at the time, and I put a little Redshift T-shirt package together because sometimes we had guests on. We'd give them it, you know. And I remember a shout out to one of the lads from the Heartless crew
who was it? Who was the lad from the Heartless Crew? He always used to rep our Redshift stuff.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, it's gone. Anyway, Fast came and I said, I used to love Fun Loving Criminals. And I was really couldn't wait to meet him and tell him how much of a fan I was. And because I said used to and he went, used to, I just felt like such shit. I could barely talk to him for the rest of the night because I was so like
is
upset.
Is it Bushkin or Fonty?
Bushkin.
Yeah.
Of course it was. Thank you. And yeah, like I was felt so bad. But anyway, so.
Which you genuinely really like.
I really like Fun Loving Criminals. Yeah. And I've got a lot of emotional connections because it was me and Jay listened to it a lot. Jay being a good friend of mine who passed away. So there's all that sort of stuff. They were at V98 and that was a great year for
you
me.
You was partial to a doobie, wasn't
it? Oh, I liked a little doobie, yeah. And like the first time I attempted to meet Huey was I was at uni and we went to me and the girl I wasn't seeing, but I was kind of like hanging around with in the desperate hopes that she would one day see what's inside of me.
Look past the face.
Look past me.
Yeah.
And go, actually, he's fucking, yeah. He's wicked.
If I could just crack this idiot yeah. inside.
She never did.
No.
Weirdly, she fancied Jay. I told her I loved her. And she went, oh, that's nice. And then about a week later, she went, I really fancy your mate Jamie. I thought, oh, fuck it. Oh, this is painful.
I'll take you to see Howard Jones.
This is really painful, yeah. I was like, Danny, I didn't really need to hear that right now. I literally told you I loved you. Like, anyway, we went to see Fun. No, we didn't. We went to a bar in Digbeth in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. We got to the thing and they went to go in and they went, this is, sorry, it's a private gig tonight. And then the security guy went, are you the drummer? And I went, yeah. Just walked in. It was a fun-loving criminals gig.
Wow.
And then we snuck out the back and we wrote a message to Huey. I mean, I have not told Huey this as well. Wrote a message to him and put it in, I don't know what we put it in, put it on the windscreen wiper of their tour bus. But I think I even can think about what we wrote on that message and it makes me cringe and I'm not going to repeat it. But, you
fuck
know,
basically, what did you put?
Oh, we basically invited
I love
him.
The fact that all of a sudden you don't want to embarrass yourself on this podcast.
I said something about being not as cool criminals as them, but if they want to come and smoke a joint with us, come to our halls of residence.
Fucking hell. That sounds like some kind of American frat film.
This is a guy who was literally not far away from modelling for fucking like Gucci Armani. He's not going to go to, and I promise you, our halls of residence were literally, we had like health and what are they called? Department of Health come around.
Environmental
it
Health.
It was that bad. Mm. So of course he was never going to fucking come there. And if he had showed up, I'd have probably thrown myself out the window and show. Anyway, roll forward a few years, meet Fast, embarrass myself there.
Who's lovely.
He is lovely. I was just filled with shame of saying used to. And it wasn't even like, it's just because I don't listen to a lot of band music at that point. So, you know, I guess I didn't mean to put it that way really. Mm. And anyway, so then a couple of years later, and then Huey comes to DJ for us, and I thought, oh God, don't make a cunt of myself again. And Huey was just the nicest dude.
Yeah,
it was like, it's not like nice as in like, you know, like nice and like a soft pushover type. Well, he was very cool, very witty, but very humble, like...
Real.
Genuine, like Gail, you know. And, like, we were talking, and obviously my dad was struggling then with Parkinson's, and we were having all sorts of problems with him sleeping. And Huey said, what about CBD and stuff like that? And I was like, I don't really thought about it. He said, yeah, take my number, because my homie DJ Crust, so if you're a drum and bass fan, that's one for you as well. I was. He said, my homie now does a CBD down in Bristol and that, and he'll hook you up, he'll send you some bits. So I had Huey's number and, you know, chat and speak to him and stuff like that. I just couldn't believe it. I was like starstruck. And I remember Pip being like, I bet Chris is having a bit of a meltdown now because he knew how much I like Huey. Mm. And just what a genuine, nice guy. And yeah, to do that was quite surreal. But I didn't mention that note on the tour bus. I imagine the driver looked at that and just threw it on the floor probably and didn't share it with them.
And fast forward that, he came on the podcast. We met up with him in London,
God,
didn't we?
Yeah.
A fucking great afternoon. With him, and then can you remember when we were away for my birthday? We was in the car.
Oh, yeah. And he gave a shout out.
Played Beastie Boys for us. What? Just a fucking lovely dude, man.
Straight up.
And I'm not a big Fun Loving Criminals fan. I only know the hits, and I used to play them in the clubs. But just lovely blokes. Like,
yeah,
just really genuine.
Didn't want anything like not pretentious. We've met a fair portion of pretentious artists, musicians, and all that. And Huey was just none of that.
Definitely one of the most weirdest moments was as a promoter of a venue when Huey finished his set, and then Pip went on. And Pip dropped Ante up first. Huey got so excited by celebrating how excited he was for that. He just lit the biggest fucking spliff in the DJ booth.
Yeah,
and
all of
a sudden, I just see Dorman everywhere just going, where's that coming from? And I was like, oh no. And I thought, I don't want to tell him to put that out. I don't know how to deal with this as trying to be his mate and also trying to be the partner. I just run away.
I know. He just walks away. I just watched you do it. I just saw you get the fuck out of there. To be fair, as the promoter, it's probably the better thing to be able to play ignorance.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to have a little walk now.
Did make me chuckle.
Great shout.
I think I went and had a bit of it. No, I actually can't remember what I was doing. Yeah, okay, right, nice one. Oh, well, that was me, so I'm just congratulating myself. Yeah, well done, Chris. So what's your number two then, you big poo?
Right, okay. So I've been lucky before, I've been lucky during lockdown that podcasts have been accessible to meet people online and have good chats. But in the lead up to that, not long before lockdown, I sent a message to an Instagram page, and the fella that, it wasn't the artist that ran it, it was his like press, his PA, messaged back saying, oh my God, I love your podcast and I love Hardcore Listening.
Amazing.
I've been listening to you for like years. Mm. Like, he's got new music out. He'd love to come on and talk about the record and talk about his songs. I was like, amazing. I said, okay, like, where do we do this? He said, just come round his house. So I went to James Lavelle's house.
That's mad.
And I watched the documentary. It's one of my favourite, if not my favourite music documentary of all time. The story of James Lavelle and Mo Wax. And by its very nature, that he's a divisive character. He doesn't come across very well in lots of it, but he owns it. You know, he throws it all out there, and that's what makes that documentary so fucking. Have you ever seen it?
Nah, because it's
fucking amazing.
It's a documentary, isn't it? So, is there any lightsabers or aliens or anything like that? Is it a horror film?
There might be. Is there an orc?
Just came in my pants.
And so yeah, I went to London and went to this really lovely house. And when you walk in, there's huge bits of Uncle artwork all over the walls. And we sat there before we pressed record, and he wanted to talk about Depeche Mode. He wanted to talk about the nightclub that I run in Rayleigh and the history of that place. And then we then just, because we're very similar in age, just then went in talking about early sort of hip hop and electro, and I was just thinking, fucking hell, this guy discovered DJ Shadow, you know, this guy set up Mo Wax, this guy's uncle, just a fucking.
Shadow and Uncle are like.
I wonder why these leads that we use don't work that well.
Because I keep playing with
stuff. Yeah.
Like Uncle and Shadow were absolutely my early 20s when I was at uni. They were like I can't tell. I didn't listen to anyone any more than those two bands. I fucking loved Uncle and DJ Shadow. Yeah.
And he was just a really nice fella. You know, just sat there in his kitchen for a couple of hours, just having a chat. And every now and again, I'd sort of just stop and sort of breathe it in and just think, This is the guy that is in that documentary that blows my mind. And if anyone's looking for a really good music documentary, I think it's called The Man Behind Mo Wax.
The Man from Mo Wax.
The Man from Mo Wax. Yeah. go and watch it because it's fucking incredible.
Every time you bring it up, I say, oh, we'll watch it, and then I don't. And then I'm looking for something to watch at home, and I end up watching Anaconda again. I've got a really...
It's good, though.
It is good. It is that bit where John Thingy gets fucking eaten by a snake. Anyway, John Voight. I met James Lavelle as well, but not there. We should get him on Hardcore Listening. I'd love to have him on Hardcore Listening. I met him at around the time when I was really big fan of him. I was partying a lot. This is like my sort of like Birmingham days. And he, on my the day before my 20th birthday, he, like at the Custard Factory, which is this big club in Birmingham. It's a really cool club. There's always loads of great drum and bass and loads of electro acts down there and that. There was a pond outside, like this man-made pond that was like pretty much like the size of a small swimming pool. And they'd emptied it out and put a tent there. And he DJ'd in that. It was like and basically, I was off my face, dancing my nuts off. And there was a little bit of a stage next to where he was DJing. And people were going up there and getting kicked off. I didn't even know that. I didn't even see any of that. And I just fucking got up there at one point. I'll be honest with you. I was off my box. And I was dancing.
You can dance. Have you ever competed in dancing? Or...
So this is all linked really. They just let me dance up there right. for like most of the set, and so me saying I met James Lavelle, he dropped Smells Like Teen Spirit in midway between a dance music set, and I was like, oh, that's amazing. So he gave me a little fist pump while he was DJing, and then I proceeded to continue to dance on the side of the stage, and I got down, and my mates were like. They didn't let anyone else do that. And when you talk about being a good dancer, my girlfriend always says to me, she sees me sometimes dance at home, and she goes, oh, it's embarrassing what she does. She's like, you're such a bad dancer. And I'm like, babe, I was quite good in my day. And I reminded her at a time that Pip, this is the same place, the Custard Factory, this is the place Pip was walking around one evening looking for me because I was on the screens. And they was just filming me dancing on the screens. And he was walking around looking for me in a club. And then he realised that wasn't of that night. It was some other random night I'd been at. And I was just dancing like a lunatic. And they were just filming me.
Wow.
That's mental, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying I'm a good dancer, but it was worth filming and putting.
It's
a bit weird, but yeah.
We was talking about dancing on the Two Girls One Shot podcast ages ago. And she said, who's the best dancer you know? And I said, Chris. And I think you can dance.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I guess so, yeah. But it's just quite funny.
Have you ever seen Pip dance?
Yeah, he's more of a jump upper and down and a head nodder, I think.
Yeah.
That's like how he gets into it. I've seen him just assault people on the dance floor. I don't know if that counts for anything. I've seen him wedgie people off of stadium podiums and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was always some sort of malicious intent going along with whilst he was expressing himself, really. Take that what you will.
Yeah, it's good to dig him up.
No, Pip can dance. But yeah, it's just weird, isn't it? Right, where are we? Is it your number one?
It is my number one.
Go on, man. Go on. Oh, no, fuck. No, it's my number two. You was James Lavelle you just said.
Oh, yeah,
sorry,
course, yeah.
I apologise. I'm getting overexcited here. What a great shout. And, you know, you have had the best guests on, Stu. It's incredible. I'm going to go with... Oh, this is really tough. Some of these are going to have to be just special mentions now. Fuck. Bollocks. So, I met... I'll say my old mate, Mike Joyce, I guess, from the Smiths.
Number one.
Oh, is it really? So, go on. You talk to us. You talk.
No, go on. I can switch it up because I've got loads.
Oh, okay, mate. Yeah, you really have. So Mike Joyce is in the Smiths, your favourite band, pretty much, I would say.
Yeah. Right?
Roughly. Definitely. In there and thereabouts, yeah. Definitely favourite band. I weren't really into them. I think you kind of actually... When I met Mike was your campaign of driving to Manchester at fucking 60 miles an hour, chain smoking, probably because you were a bit nervous and excited.
Had we done a club night before?
Had we done that by then?
Yeah. You'd been out on the piss and you put him to bed and you still hadn't really listened to the Smiths.
Oh, yeah. So that's right. I was mates with Mike before I liked the Smiths.
Yeah.
And obviously through the club night, we started to run together. So I didn't. I guess I was lucky that I didn't have to know the thing that he was famous for, and I could just meet a person and realise that that person was Ace.
Mm.
Again, Mike's one of these people of the many that we met in that era who there was no pretense with Mike. He was just very down to earth, very fucking witty and funny. Mm. That's what, you know. He's very sharp. Sharply dressed, kind, likes a drink.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, we do these club nights together and me and Mike would get pretty fucking pissed by the end of it. And, like, there was a couple of evenings where we'd have, like, Mike could have a... We'd sort him out a hotel room and all that. And, like, a couple of evenings, one in particular, you're saying, I had to literally get him in his room. And, I weren't in much better shape, to be honest with you. And it was really nice to know a guy, like, just to meet someone. But what was really cool when we did those nights is you get very young people coming up to Mike and being like, mate, you're an absolute legend. And it's just so cool to see how, like, the Smiths music has gone on for so long and influenced so many people. But Mike was a fucking dude.
Yeah, man.
Loads of cool fucking stories as well.
And it didn't matter how many times he ever rung me around then.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time it was Mike Joyce Smiths on my caller ID, I'd be like, oh, one of the Smiths is phoning me. One of the fucking Smiths is phoning me up. Like, it blew my fucking mind. And when we recorded the hardcore listing with him, he invited us up to his beautiful fucking house in Manchester.
Oh, God, it's lovely.
And super welcoming, just sat there in his living room, didn't we? Just fucking having a good old natter and a cup of tea.
Met his missus and one of his mates.
Yeah, his mate turned up wearing a Liam Gallagher mask, didn't he?
Yeah.
It was all very weird.
Yeah, it's kind
But yeah, he's since come and DJed at the Toothbrush, and every time I've had any dealings with him, he's just been a fucking joy.
Yeah.
Just, whoever says don't meet your heroes, they're lying.
Yeah. You've met many. So what's your number one, mate? Go on, you're going to have to switch it out. Sorry, Mike, you was Stu's number one, but for the interest of variety, we're gonna shout out another person.
I'll go Frank Bruno.
Oh, incredible, yeah.
I've not put many fighters on here. I've been really lucky in the last 6 months to have met lots of fighters. And maybe in 10 years' time we'll do this podcast and I'll go, I remember when I first met Paddy the Baddie, and he may well be, you know, a Conor McGregor.
Might have laid someone out in a pub, like an old man out in a pub. Like yeah, just point.
Spanked an elderly fella, didn't like his whiskey. But yeah, obviously anybody probably over the ages of like sort of 35 would have grown up and a household name and everybody's favourite sports person was Frank Bruno.
Mm.
There's an amazing documentary that came out last year that they've been running on Sky Arts at the moment about Bruno versus Tyson and the whole how their careers went and they came together and fought, and then Tyson went to prison, Bruno won the title, then fought Tyson again. And I can't tell you how much excitement there was around them fights and you know, watching Frank Bruno being just this absolute specimen of a fucking physical being. And then the minute the mic was on him, you know, Harry Carpenter would be interviewing him, and their friendship was beautiful. And obviously, you know what I mean, Harry become this tagline, and obviously you'd hear and yeah, it was Brad that sorted it out. So big love to Brad, who's doing some incredible music,
yeah,
and
he's really
going to be doing
something
really incredible with music soon. I was chatting to him a couple of weeks ago, and he facilitated for us to go to London to this radio station and interview Frank Bruno. And I'd definitely say it was the most nervous I'd ever been ahead of a podcast. And we'd recorded that morning, hadn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And then when we got there, I remember before we went in the room, we walked past and you could hear him laughing and you could hear him talking. It was like, oh my God, that's Frank Bruno. Absolutely incredible.
It was very cool.
Went in there, he was so lovely. We've told this story, you know, many times on this podcast because it was a real moment. And yeah, asked him about fighting Tyson. You know, I got to see Frank Bruno level up and got the fight face. You know, I got the, you know, when you ask him about some of them moments, you know, he switches on and it was like, you know, switches into fight mode. And then, yeah, he'd been doing press all day, so we were worried that he was going to be tired, and he was so lovely and gracious, and then had a real moment. Like you said about Huey, like, you know, and talking about your dad and your dad's illness, like,
he really
Bruno
cared, didn't he?
Really, like, was literally leaving and it came into contact, and he was like, stopped, and he was like, right, Mo, hang on, let's go through this, and was having a lovely chat with you about it.
Medication and stuff, weren't we? Yeah.
Just because obviously, you know, like so many people in this world of celebrity, like, they struggle.
Yeah.
And, you know, no more so than, and publicly documented than Frank Bruno and Gal Porter.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to see these people, you know, pushing through it and living with it and working with it and bettering themselves and then spreading the word of mental health awareness is fucking aspirational. And yeah, absolute legend, Frank Bruno. And yeah, got to shake the hand that fucking thumped Mike Tyson.
You've got this weird fetish with touching the hands of people that have knocked out heavyweight champs, haven't you? Have you noticed?
Yes.
Have you done that to anyone else as well? You shaking any other hands that have knocked out heavyweight champs? I mean, I haven't, but theoretically,
I've shook David Haye's hand.
There you go. Yeah.
He was heavyweight champ of the world.
Mm-hmm. You sat next to him, didn't you?
Yeah. At UFC. Many UFC heavyweights? I've shook Tom Aspinall's, and he's going to be.
He's going to be a heavyweight champ. He's brilliant. Yeah, I completely believe that as well.
Right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
So, but yeah.
Great shout. Right, I will go with Tom Hardy, I guess. So, that's probably the most famous person I've met, I would say. I mean, it depends, because define famous. But in terms of reach and worldwide, I would say he's probably the most famous. Because you were there. We both met him, didn't we? He's an angry face. Why couldn't you make it? Is there a reason?
I was at work, and you pricks... You was more excited about telling me you'd met him than meeting him.
That sounds really, really accurate. So, like, it was a bit of a double whammy. This was a double whammy as well. So, me and Pip, and I think Miss Chutel was with us that day. And we were already in, like, the VIP box for a Bellator... I think it was a UFC Bellator event.
Was it Bama?
It was probably Bama, actually. Tell a lie. It was probably Bama. It was definitely Bama. And we already had decent seats in that. And then Pip went... he was looking on Twitter, and he was like, I've just seen a picture of Tom Hardy's here. And obviously Pip and Tom are mates. And I fucking, even then my stomach went a little bit. It's like, oh. And then he was like, do you want to go and meet Tomati? And like, there's a little bit of me, because I have been starstruck in the past, that didn't want to meet, because yeah. I just didn't know how I'd behave.
Yeah.
And, but of course I was like, yeah, no, fucking let's do it. And so then we had to go through the fire exits and whatnot, and we found ourselves in back of this security room. And Tom wasn't there. I met Tom's security guard, who was like this ex, like SAS bad boy. He was brilliant. He was a lovely bloke. We had a good old chat. And for some reason, he was talking about something. And it was like a military movement or whatever. And I went, one is none, two is one, a few is two. And he went, yeah, how do you know that? And I was like, playing Risk. I've told this story before. I'm sorry for repeating it, gang. But it was like, yeah, he thought I was a nerd and a loser after that, which is fine. I am. Met his ace wife and incredible actress herself. and then went out and they set just some rough just seats out in front of the ring. Instead of being in any sort of like organised seating, it was like the VIP of VIPs. And then I was just sat there and Pip wasn't even with me. And Tom just come out of like one of these like entrances and just come up and introduced himself to me. And we had a little chat. I just thought I was mad that he come up and just said, oh, hello, I'm Tom.
Yeah.
What's your name? And yeah, it was Pucker. And he was just a really nice guy. We had a bit of a laugh while we were watching the fights. I can't remember, you know, me saying anything particularly witty or memorable.
Standard.
But it was, well, exactly, as you can imagine. But it was just kind of, and I also wasn't starstruck. I actually somehow just acted like a normal human being, which again, I mean, I think probably but having worked with you and for you, managing that night and meeting loads of celebrities, I was just kind of quite used to it by that point. So I haven't acted like a weirdo for a long time. Having said that, after that, we bumped into MVP, Michael Venom and Paige. And another one of my shout-outs is I met Michael at another point.
Did you say Michael Venom and
Venom Page. I didn't mean to say Venom. Eminem Page. I met MVP at another point.
Yeah.
A comic convention with me and Pitt. And I must say, like, there's a picture of me with MVP and the fucking happiness on my face. It is like, I am beaming. Like, it's like one of those things where you're like, that looks like a kid who's got all his dreams come true. Because I love MVP and he's a fucking great bloke. I really like him as a human being. His mentality and his personality and the things he's into. And yeah, so I got to meet him and also bumped into him after meeting Tom Hardy, which was a bit of a mental day. So there you have it. There's my number one. You must have a list of... I'll do my special mentions and then what we can do is we can fade out as you list.
I'm not just going to rattle off people I've had like on the podcast. Oh, okay, I'm trying to keep these to like people that I've met in weird situations.
Okay, right, cool, fair enough.
The Queen.
What? No.
So
the actual Queen.
The Queen.
The Queen.
Yeah. So when I was 6 or 7,
mm-hmm.
the Queen come to Grays.
Mm-hmm.
And my school got to have the afternoon off.
Mm.
And where the Oaks is,
yeah.
all the schools from the area all queued up along a big road
yeah.
Whilst the Queen, the car come down and it stopped and it got out.
Yeah. It.
We'll go with it. It walked down and it got out of the car and it walked down and it, and literally she was just sort of shaking hands and she shook my little mitt.
No.
And then stopped at Nicola Carter, who was a girl standing next to me. And I've looked online for this photo because it was the front page of the local paper. And she, like, I think like Nicola gave her like a bouquet of flowers or something. And she took them and there's a photo of her like leaning in, talking to her with my little scruffy head in the background.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So yeah, the Queen.
That's quite mad.
And can I keep it on a royal tip?
Go on then.
And I'm gonna go dark.
Oh, Prince Andrew.
I met Prince Andrew.
What at that ring?
Like I went for pizza. No, but
PizzaGate. Oh, Joe, stop.
Walking through London, literally in the financial district, completely lost when I was probably about 20.
Oh God, lucky you were 20.
Just like walking. I don't think I was with Cunt. I definitely weren't with Cunt. Who's releasing his Jubilee song next week? Prince Andrew is a sweaty nonce, that's called.
uh,
And I just see like two people that look like the most terrifying fucking not like big lump dancers, but like ones that like Liam Neeson Taken style.
Like unassuming, but probably more lethal.
Exactly that.
My sort of stamp.
So in between them was, I just looked and I was like, oh my God, that's Prince Andrew.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, just walked past him.
Yeah.
But I think I...
Did you go, Andrew?
No, I had band stickers. And I remember thinking, oh, should I put one on his back?
Yeah.
And I just thought, I'm glad I didn't. Because that was the sort of dumb shit I would have done then. Yeah. Just going, thinking it's funny and probably have just got fucking, had my neck broke or something.
Hmm.
But yeah, and one more on the dark tip.
Okay. Oh,
that God. I was, and I've met him twice and I was so excited both times.
Oh, God.
Rolf Harris.
Oh, fucking hell.
The first time in Tottenham Court Road, just walking along with cunt, and I had my twat t-shirt on.
Yeah.
And I went, God, it's Rolf Harris.
Yeah.
And then he was right in front of us, and before anything, he just went, twat. And like, and so I had this fight with Rolf Harris, who at the time was an absolute fucking hero. Fucking loved Rolf Harris. And then...
Before knowing any of that stuff, he was a talented, artistic, funny, seemed like a warm guy, and then it all just got a little bit like, oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, you know, and then he was doing a book signing for Animal Hospital or something in Lakeside at WH Smith's around 96. And so all my band got dressed up and went down there, and we've got this photo of the whole
band,
all in our outfits with Rolf in the middle. That was one of my favourite photos. Mm. And then all of a sudden, you think, oh, you know, I'm not allowed to like that one anymore now. Like, I've done some really horrible things.
I've been sorting out my mum's house, or our house, and, you know, going through bits. And I've gone through some stuff in my room. And there's a little spoken word poem about Rolf Harris that's all printed out. It's in a Rolf Harris letter from Australia. And it was obviously when Pip used to do all his spoken word circuits. I don't know who wrote that one and who did it, but it was part of their press tour that they did it. It might have been Dockers MC. I can't remember. Sorry, Dockers. I'm casting some shade on you being a Rolf Harris fan here. But yeah, it was one of them. And I was like, well, do I keep that now or not?
There was nothing wrong with being a Rolf Harris fan. Yeah, everyone loved Rolf Harris.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, the same way that everybody loved Jimmy Savile. That's why it makes it so fucking nuts, the fact that they... You know, they come across so fucking lovely for so long.
Absolutely.
And we should also stipulate that I do believe what Rolf Harris done. I don't really know the full extent of what he done, but I don't think it was anywhere near as fucked up as what Jimmy Savile done. Bleak, nonetheless.
Yeah, he's super bleak. He's still black bad. Just quick shout out to another queen, Lindy Layton from Beats International. So. Oh, Lindy, she was an absolute treasure. Lindy was just like the ultimate woman, I think. Like, she came and DJed for us, and she'd done it a couple of times, actually. And she was just so cool.
Really
and
fucking
funny.
Good as well.
Yeah, great, really good DJ, firstly. Good technically and good song selection. Really just great style. Very hot. Very funny, witty. Oh, she's just fucking mega. And then one night, she'd done a slot for us at Proud. And she was like, she needed a hand with some of her bits out to her car. I said, no worries, I'll take them out for you. And we went out to her car and she had a fucking old school Beamer. Like proper 80s Beamer. And all the seats were leopard print. And I was just like, this person is just peak human being.
Yeah.
I was blown away by Lindy, and she's just mega.
Her house is the maddest place I've ever been to.
Oh, really?
It's a very sort of normal looking house from the outside, and you go in, and it's fucking insane.
Oh, really?
Like I could not keep my eyes still. I was like, Lindy, there's mad shit everywhere. Like the walls are just like there's not a gap on the walls. Like everywhere, there's just something mental, and it's like.
Can you give me an example?
A stag's head, all sorts of just weird bits of art, and some odd kind of like clutter.
Yeah.
Like, and it's probably very well thought out clutter, but I was trying to record, and I was like, I can't. I'm not ignoring you, but I was so distracted by how much fucking mad stuff was catching my eye. Cool. And it's got to be, because if it's if it means you're taking your eyes off of Lindy Layton, who is a massive childhood, massive crush of mine. Oh, big shout out to Lindy Layton. What a lovely human.
Well, this has been a fun old podcast, mate.
I've got one more.
Oh, go on then.
Going to bring it right up to date. Brett Goldstein.
Oh, of course.
Superstar Brett Goldstein
now. Yeah.
You know, he was just a filmmaker, not just, but he was filmmaker and comedian when we first met him. And, you know, now Emmy winner and just legit fucking superstar. He's been on fucking Sesame Street, as we spoke about a few episodes ago. But, yeah, just one of the nicest fucking people you'll ever meet.
He is.
And any time... We've all got a shared WhatsApp group for the network, and he ain't too good to be on there, is he? He still chats and interacts. And whenever we see him, he's always just fucking lovely. What a really fucking kind man.
Witty. I always wish I had a sense of humour like Brett's, where I didn't have to just like throw in, like, say, you know, baby's dick to make myself think that's funny. Like, Brett's sense of humour can be delicate, nuanced, and yet and concise and very, very good.
He should do comedy.
Brett, think about it, mate. Think about it. Whatever that little football show is you're on now, go and do comedy instead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Stop the writing stuff. Like,
give it. You know, everyone's got to have. You've got to have a dream, mate. But sometimes you've just got to be like,
get on the old gig circuit.
Yeah. Get match fit.
Yeah. Dream big, mate. We done?
We're done.
See you next time. It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.